Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
On America, welcome to our next epic episode 24 of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. The star date of April the 18th, 2023. Wow, it just seems like last Thursday until now, it feels like a month. I don't know why. It's weird. Space-time continuum thing, or whatever they call it. Amazing. Just feeling like it's been forever. Well, I think it's because the show, as you know, is normally the first Tuesday of every month, and we had to reschedule it. So the next Bachelor show will be in about 2 weeks, the first Tuesday in May. So I told you we'd had some wiring done. We had the techs over at the studio, rewiring, regrounding, recalibrating the studio for sound, for war, if need be. But this is our lighthearted show once a month, and we're going to get into a lot of cool subjects. This is, again, each show is a new chapter, like my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a new chapter. We're moving forward through the course material, like a college-level course. There's a lot to talk about. After the monologue, we will take calls, always. If you're a first-time caller, you'll dial 563-999-3437 on our VIP line to get in. Last month or so, people have been asking, where is the Bachelor show? I want to hear more about this stuff. Well, people thought, why would a guy who has a political show on Thursday nights go way out there on a limb and have a Bachelor Galaxy-type show? Well, to me, they're very intertwined. That's the secret of our success. We never stole an audience. We never went somewhere to pay a marketing person, to pay people to listen, like many rhino radio talk shows do. Now, we'll get into that on Thursday, but on this show, I have created brand new audiences. People who really never listened before much to talk radio. And this show is very special because the men out there who, let's be frank and honest here, most men suffer in silence. They commiserate alone. They cry in their beer, right? They might talk to a few close friends and confidants. But where women have everything at their disposal. If you're a woman in American society, you get support, you get encouragement, you get attention for your ups and downs, all the trials and tribulations and the roller coaster of life. Isn't that true? Men, you get nothing. You're told, get a second job, get a third job, hit the bricks, pal, get out of here, beat it, kid. Scram! Been told that's your whole life, right? Well, on The Bachelor Show, we delve into that rabbit hole a little bit. We open up that part of the American society, and we'll talk about it. We're the only show that does that. We are the tip of the spear. No other show would dare in our matriarchal world today, our matriarchal society, and don't say it's not, because it is. The women have very subtly ruled over America for a few decades now. We have bitch boys running among us. We've got men with honey-do lists running around town trying to please their wife. When I was a kid, the women were trying to be the people pleasers. Now the men in America are the people pleasers. Complete role reversal. The men are doing everything they can to please that wife. Did you hear what guys say around the water cooler? Well, I can't really divorce her, Bob. It's because it costs me too much money. It's cheaper to keep her, right? Cheaper to keep her. And they go, well, I made my bed. I may as well lie in it, right? Right? Women are great if you find the right one. It's all about the girl in America. We have true gems in America that are out there. The problem is they're becoming like that elusive animal on the African safari. And the men, we're in that Ford Bronco on the safari, hunting, looking for that elusive animal that we can't find for the magazine cover, right? She's out there. But we see a lot of hippos come by, a lot of elephants, things we already know, a lot of hyenas, and female hyenas too. That beautiful, majestic beast is out there. I tell you guys, if you find her, keep her. But many guys are on the hunt, and many men in America are unhappy. Now, our TV media will spend hours. You'll have authors on these shows talking to you, writing books about women in America, how they feel about things. How do women feel about this, about that? No one gives a rat's ass how men feel. We have feelings too, you know. But no one cares how we feel about the economy, about women, about the toxic dating environment, about a lot of things. Because nobody cares. And that's why I just proved it to you, why we are fast becoming a matriarchal society. In other words, it's all about the woman. It's all about how she feels, how the women go about their daily business. If you're a man, screw you. Hit the bricks, pal. That's what they say, right? Walk into any bookstore, as I told you before, there's thousands of books on female psychology, how to make women happy. And you are, as a man in American society in 2023, with the leftists trying to destroy the once great nuclear family, you're making a legal contract with a very fickle American woman who's highly emotional, highly charged, and the least little thing now will set her off. Unlike the women of my mom's day, let's say, or even women back in the 80s or 90s. Today, she has her attorney on speed dial, her support group on line two, her support animal will always be there waiting for her, and she's just waiting like a snake, like an alligator, for you to slip up in that relationship. And then she can close it down. Close down your world around you. Doesn't matter what you've invested. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you said, your cards, your overtures, your boxes of candy. Oh, I know. We've all been there. Your overtures of love, romance. Doesn't matter to her. She goes, I'm not happy. Arms folded on the couch. Whenever a woman says, we have to talk about our relationship, what she's really saying is, I want you to kowtow to me and do what I say. That's the street translation of that. And you as a man need to run for the hills. Get the hell out of there any way you can. But we talk real on my show. This is probably too harsh, too offensive for some people. And if it is, I get it, man. I dig it. Turn that dial. No problem. I have never, ever sought out the biggest audience. Because I know in America today, whether it's the dating environment on this show or our Thursday night political show, which we'll have, the masses are asses. I'm not looking for all the dumbasses to be followers of my show. I'm looking for the elite radio listeners, the men in the know, the made men, if you will, the made men of the 13 colonies who made the country great. They were never the majority, but they knew what was going on. And on this show, we know what's going on. Like Paul Revere, we'll say it from the rooftops. We'll gallop on our horse, go town to town. The American male today is under assault by government, the economy, the smirky, sly grin, HR wench trying to fire you. Oh, I know. I know. Many of you guys have called the show, called me afterwards during the week, emailed me. You won't come on the show, but you should. Tell us your story. And it's okay if it's a hard luck story. Those are my favorite. Because like Rocky Balboa, I love it on one hand when people fall down. But like Rocky always said, it's if you can get back up in the ring of life. Keep slugging. Keep fighting. I was talking to a good friend before the show about someone I know, put it that way, who's a nice lady. But all of her friends, she says, are millionaires or mega successful. And I asked her one day, I said, has anyone you know ever had a hard luck story? Ever failed? No, not my friends. They're all multimillionaires. Everyone's super, super successful. I go, well, that's wonderful. But it doesn't sound real. It doesn't sound real at all to me. And I told it to her face. And I like reality. Because I know reality does not go that smoothly for everyone you know. So on this show, it's okay to show your scars, your battle scars. It's okay to show what you dealt with out there in the dating environment, which is increasingly all about social media, toxic. American women just want money more and more. They don't even want to meet you for coffee. They don't have the time to even get in their car, or do they even have the money to put gas in their car? The minute they see you, they want cash. It's called PPM, pay per meet. A lot of them, or they want dinner. You know, they're constantly hungry. You just said hello, and they want to get dinner. They want you to buy. Amazing. Outrageous entitlement complexes. Why don't you go in your own kitchen and make a sandwich? And by the way, make me one too while you're there, honey bun. And we'll talk later. We have a lot of new listeners, and our show kind of goes on a raucous front each week, and on this show especially. So we need to induct our new listeners to the show in the appropriate Animal House fraternity way. And I'd have it no other way.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman. Given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, on the words of the Bachelor Empire, and may God save the Bachelor King. You know, a lot of guys are being pushed out of America these days. Underwritten story. No one's talking about it. Except our show. You know how I know this? I'll back it up for you. I'll prove it to you. I'll make a freaking believer out of you. State Department has figures every year. It's on their website about the amount of Americans living overseas. And every year, it's mainly male, and it's increasing. How about those apples? Well, it's in a few little articles here and there, mainly on YouTube by expats who say they've never seen so many middle-aged American men living overseas, living the good life, the life that they should have here. And we love a lot of things about America. But let's face it, if you're over a certain age, you know, maybe you're not as ripped as you used to be, that's okay. It's called the middle age spread. It's called middle ages period. Happens to every guy. You're no longer 21 years old, buff sports player. Maybe you can still throw a football or hit the ball in the baseball park, hit a home run. You might even be the star of your softball team. Who knows? But a lot of guys are going overseas. Thailand, South America, maybe Eastern Europe. Start checking some things out. I tell people, go where you're wanted. And men, there's always a little bit of 007 in every man. If you're not wanted here, if you're not happy here, though we're a great country, we offer a lot of things. But the one thing we're not the best at, in my view, that we have money, paved roads, clean water, pretty much clean air. You can find a job if you want one. But the one area that's oftentimes overlooked is men's relationship with women. The availability of women is not what it used to be. The quality isn't there. Men are making money. They can buy a truck. They can buy a ranch. They can buy a farm, buy a little factory. They can buy a business. But they're not looking out always in the dating world. That's where the show comes in. Now, some guys in America do very well. And I say, if you're doing well, stay put. Whatever you do in life, guys, if you have a gold vein, whether it's business or women or whatever, stay by the gold vein. Always. Never leave the gold mine. In other words, stay right where you're at because you hit gold. You hit gold, you stay. But the guys that are just hitting rocks out there in the prison yard, you know, in general population, as they say, in prison speak, they got to get out of here. Maybe you should get some money. Take a trip. Hop on a jet. Be the world adventurer you always wanted to be. Check out some countries. Get your passport. Do your paperwork. Do your homework, too. Don't be stupid. Don't go overseas and flash your cash. There's a worldwide recession and depression in some places. So don't be a dumb American and flash your money. You want to be a smart American, kind of blend in. Know the language. If you know Spanish, you got a leg up on the competition. Because a lot of the Spanish countries are where it's at in my book. You know, they got those great espresso bars, beautiful Latin women. And in South America, they're European, and they have some conquistador in them, very exotic, with some European blood. Wow, what a combination. Gorgeous. Great carne asada, great food. Some of you guys are into Asian, living in Asia. Be careful over there. Because you're right by China. We talked about on my Thursday show there, you know, that's an area that's a little more dicey than what it used to be, right? Some of you guys are in the military, you're on the military basis. You love the show, I know you do. You're in South Korea, you're in Japan, where our numbers have shot up, by the way. And that's all American troops, of course. And of course, our CIA stations over there. But you guys are listening. We love you over there. Keep America strong. But you guys are having the time of your lives. I know. You have to tell me. I already know. Because what you're finding over there is the old world, where the women cater to the men, not the other way around. I will give the American women credit. They figured out a way through decades of disinformation, manipulation, media on their side, courts on their side, to really brainwash a lot of you guys. I told you before, if you want to see a statue of America, go to your local mall food court. Just get a sandwich and a Coke, like I've done before with a few friends. Look around. Look around. Look at the men, the young guys, pushing the baby stroller while the woman walks in front. He's submissive to her, whether he knows it or not. I overhear conversations, yes, dear, yes, dear. They never talk back. They never have a mental idea of their own. You can't live like that, guys. If you do, you're going to be a slave to her, and that's what she wants. So women like that. So I'm telling you to get back to your ancient roots on my programming, and you got to change your mental programming and get more of the Von Weekend radio show programming into your minds, and you'll be far, far happier and far, far better off. It was Tony Montana who said it best. We talked about before. Great show, great movie, Scarface. All you've got is your word and your balls in this world.
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one.
Who put this thing together? Me.
Yeah.
That's who. Who do I trust? Me.
Yeah. It ain't like an eye on this one. Hey. Yeah. From me, Tony Montana. Hey, I'm Tony Montana. Hey, I'm Tony Montana. I'm Tony Montana. Hey, from me, Tony Montana. Hey, I'm Tony Montana. I'm Tony Montana. Hey, from nothing to something. Hey, I'm Tony Montana. I'm Tony Montana. Hey, from me, Tony Montana.
That's right. And the movie Wall Street, very iconic in America. You know? I love that phrase in the movie by Gordon Gekko, the Wall Street boss. Money never sleeps, pal. In Sun Tzu, The Art of War, the battle was already won before it ever gets started.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal. Just made 800,000 Hong Kong gold. It's been wired to you.
Play with you. You done good, but you gotta keep doing good. I showed you how the game works. Now school's out.
Mr. Gekko, I'm there for you 110%.
No. You don't understand. I wanna be surprised.
Astonish me, pal. New info. I don't care where or how you get it. Just get it. My wife tells me you made a move on Darien. Here's some inside info for you. That Euroflash GQ type she's going out with got big bucks, but he's putting her feet to sleep. Exit visas are imminent. So I don't want you losing your place in line.
Oh, Jesus. I wish you could see this. Lights coming up. I've never seen a painting that captures the beauty of the ocean at a moment like this. I'm gonna make you rich, Bud Fox. Yeah, rich enough you can afford a girl like Darien. This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
Love that movie scene. Great. A lot of you guys are in business. A lot of you guys need to get back to work. Okay? COVID's over. It's been over for a while. Stop using that as an excuse. Get back to work. I'll tell you a little thing, a little story. My neighbor, we've got a couple of them, are from Eastern Europe. And they're married, okay? And I'm the bachelor guy, right? In my studio back here by the mountains, nestled against the backdrop here. Well, I walk outside, and they rush up to me and commiserate. Fun. I want to tell you, he says. He says his wife likes to go to Olive Garden too much. She likes to dine and shop. have a good time. I go, dude, that's what a wife loves to do. All wives love to do that. If you married a wife thinking she's a robot and she doesn't eat and she's going to sit at home all day and do nothing, I got another word for you. You made the wrong choice, pal. She's a great girl. He goes, I know, but. I said, look, don't dump on me. Don't commiserate to me and look for sympathy. Is that what you want? He goes, no, I'm just telling you. I said, well, let's be frank here. You told me this like 3 or 4 times now. And for here's like 3 or 4 times, I'm going, first time you blow it off, he's just venting. Second time, they might have had a family squabble, marital squabble. Third time, I'm like, there's a problem here. Then I analyze it a lot more. And I go, you know something, Danny boy? Let's be frank here. I normally take the man's side, but I'm taking her side on this one. What? Yeah. You haven't been to work for 6 months. You don't have a problem with your wife going to Olive Garden or going to Target and buying a few trinkets for the house. You have a revenue problem. You can't afford a wife, then you're in the wrong business. You got 3 kids. You've got a wife. I mean, at least she's not buying jewelry every single weekend, right? That's right. Well, get back to work. You have a revenue problem. You tell me what he's making for a household of like a wife and 3 kids, about 4 or 5 grand. Not bad, but for Phoenix, but I go, you need more money. The issue is not an Olive Garden meal. Let your wife eat all this soup and salad she wants, breadsticks, whatever. Who cares? You need to bring in some money, man. He goes, you're right, next day. You're right. I'm going back to work. I said, yeah, get back to work, guys. Hell, you've been sitting here all winter enjoying the sucking up the beautiful winter days here in Arizona. Get back to work. Some of you guys need to get 2 and 3 jobs. Here's a guy that took a hiatus for a month, ended up being about 6 months, a vacation, staycation, but still it's a vacation. I go, you stop moping around the house. You guys get into a rut. You get into a funk. Whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, break out of that. You got to do something, my God. But it's kind of interesting. I go, your wife can have all the salad and breadsticks she wants in my book, buddy. I'm on her side. You can't afford that. And you got bigger problems than I even realized. So, I mean, some of you guys commiserate, but if you only listen to yourselves and what you bitch and complain about, a lot of it's you. If you don't have any money, it's because you're not hustling. Always have a side hustle and your main hustle. Have a job paying you some money. Always look for more money. If you think we live in a free world, I got news for you. This is a material world. I always knew it was a material world when I was a little kid. It takes money, time, effort, and money, and lots of money to do anything you want. I've always noticed that. Whether it's going to spring break, buying a beer for your fraternity, starting a new business, buying a new motorcycle, you want to zip around in? Yeah. Takes money. Got to work. If your last name isn't Trump, and if your family or your, if you haven't won the Powerball, put it that way, you got to go to work. Okay? And that's just economics in America 101. First thing you should learn. You don't know that by age 30, 40, 50? What the hell have you been doing your whole life? So anyway, so you guys, you might be your own worst enemy. Don't do self-inflicted wounds, self-inflicted gunshots. That's for losers, people who are, you know, opting out. If you're in the game, like Rocky Balboa, be in the ring, be in the game of life. But some of you guys just got to bring in some revenue, man. And that will solve a ton of problems. I used to know a guy that kind of a Gordon Gekko guy in Dallas, Texas back in the day. He was a hotel magnate. I worked for him for a while. He had several hotel companies. And he used to tell me this thing. He goes, I don't care what we charge or what we do. We need to bring constant cash flow, constant revenue, because it solves so many problems. It covers up so many of our mistakes. revenue, revenue, revenue. So we'll get into economics tonight. We'll get into travel, dating, social media, and all kinds of fun stuff tonight. So stay tuned. And watch out for those ambushers, guys, the Dean Martin, Matt Helm show. They're everywhere these days, behind every blade of grass. We love Dino on the show.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Oh, shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one Mad Hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
That's right. Get that drink ready. Strap in. Crash helmets are on. And our trays are in the locked and upright positions, as I always say. Well, having kids today is a big production and very expensive. I'm at the mall food court seeing these young guys push around these baby carriages. They look shell-shocked from the battlefield of life. You raise your kids. Now your kids can't even afford the homes that are out there. Now, I've told you guys before, a lot of you guys have asked me about real estate. I live in the Rocky Mountain states, and I always knew that the Rocky Mountain states were always undervalued and would boom eventually. And yeah, they have. Everything from Arizona to Montana has tripled, quadrupled in price because I knew that a lot of the coastal areas were too liberal, too strange, and a lot of people were moving inland, pushing up those prices. Remember, where there is supply, there is some demand, right? And that demand may go through the roof, as do the prices. So if you're looking for a house today, you didn't inherit money, or if you don't own property, you may have to go to the Midwest. That's the best value in America today. Told you before, you buy a home out there, Oklahoma, North Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, where I went to college. Great state. Indiana's a good, solid state. A lot of good-looking blondes up there, too. But very reasonable homes. 120, 130, 150, 1990s prices. You can still get them. Now, they won't appreciate much because more people move out to move in, but it'll be stable. It will be stable. You won't lose a lot of money, and you can afford to have a big house, maybe on to get a couple acres of land. You see, one thing that we'll talk about tonight is you've heard of these more heavy subjects like Agenda 21, et cetera. Well, they're trying to shove all you bachelors and bachelorettes, for that matter, into these cramped condos, apartments. They don't want you to have a garage, backyard, to have a dog. They don't or to go crops, God forbid. They want you to shove you all into small studio, one-bedroom apartments, and charge you $2,000 to $3,000 a month. That is what they want, what the elites want. And so if you want some land, some acreage, some elbow room, for God's sake, you know, maybe a work shed in the back or a tool shop for your hobbies, a place for your family eventually, just a place for you as a bachelor, as a good investment, you know, I just tell you guys, if you can't afford the West, and we God knows you can't afford the East Coast. That's way out of line. And if you want temperate weather, go to the Midwest. Go to that part of the South I told you about. Look at places like Tennessee, Alabama maybe. Oklahoma is a very underrated state. I've always said that. It's half the cost of Texas. Temperate weather, good homes at affordable prices. Nice people there. Iowa, Indiana, Kansas and Nebraska are great too, but a bit more expensive on the property taxes. You know why I know this? I go to Zillow a lot. I look at homes across the nation. I research them, and I'm always looking at things. And as a bachelor too, find out what you like, research things for future investment, things of that nature. So, but I don't recommend you getting married unless you find the woman of your dreams. It's in my book. Don't get married to the first fat whore you meet down the street. You know what I mean. Don't be that desperate, okay? And that's not to put down women. That's just how men talk. In other words, wait till the one that you want shows up on your doorstep. Go out there and get her, and that'll be great. But again, many of you guys are going to be bachelors your whole lives, or many, for more years than you're going to be married. That's the national stats. I mean, they don't lie. For the most part, they don't lie. The liars will always have their way with any statistic. But the bachelor's den in America is making a comeback. Guys are doing well here. They are fixing up their houses. There was the MGTOW movement, men going their own way. So it's all good. And, go your own way. Do your own thing. Society hates that because you're not settling for what they want. Society wants you to settle with a hag in the suburbs where you're a henpicked man. That's what they want for you. They want you to buy things that you don't need and help out the economy. While you're screwed in more ways than one back in your little track home, okay? They don't want you traveling the world, being more worldly, getting more knowledge about life and love, business, women. Travel around the world, as I have a little bit. Been to Europe. I've been to on 7 cruises. Been to Mexico. Been to a lot of places. Been to Eastern Europe. And been to Prague. I've been to Croatia. I've been to Germany, of course. Being German-Italian, I want to go back to my homeland. Italy's next on my agenda. If I can afford it, we'll see how the year goes, right? But you save up for things. You do what you got to do. But Look, I've been around the world. I know how things go. I know that there is a breed of woman over here in America that's very spoiled, has even the fugly ones, the ugly ones deserve or think they deserve a Brad Pitt with $1 million now. So if you're an average working stiff, these women have got it in their mind that they deserve all these things. They've been taught they deserve it. How can you compete with that? You can't teach her any common sense because she's already lost it. She's gone. Gone like the wind. Like that South Park episode. And it's gone, right? So some of you guys, that's what I mean when I say you don't realize it, but you're going to get pushed out of America. If you don't settle and capitulate, you're going to get pushed out. And that's maybe the best thing that ever happened to you. And don't look at it as bad. View it as a grand adventure and as a secret blessing from God himself. He's showing you the path. Have the balls and the fortitude to do it and walk that path. Might be the best thing you ever did. I always say it's your life, gentlemen. You do what you want. More power to all of you. Get your cocktail. When I return, we're going right to calls, I promise. That's right. It's your life. Do what you damn well want. Well, if you've just tuned in, this is the Yvonne Wien Show, the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, epic episode, I should say, 24. The start date of April the 18th, 2023 AD. Inside the world of the Bachelor's Den in America, it's America's favorite guilty pleasure. Brought to you by your illustrious host, and our wonderful show production. And with that, let's get right to the Gladiator in North Phoenix, talking from a secret location tonight. How are you doing, sir?
Good, man.
Are
What's
you there?
Going on?
Doing
I
great.
Am here. What's happening?
We talked a bit before the show, and we were talking about the hard luck story, the Rocky Balboa story, when you come back from the brink or the abyss and you make it. Let's start right there.
Right?
Tell us some
yeah.
of your great, great wisdom.
Well, yeah. you know, wisdom comes with experience, right? So,
right.
you know, I was disfortunate and fortunate both, right, to have been involved in the Wall Street debacle of all the boutique small firms that got kicked off the street by the large, you know, Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns of the world. That
mm-hmm.
happened in the 1997, so late 90s, where having been on Wall Street for a handful of years, taking nine companies public, you know, all of a sudden the big boys didn't like that we were getting the IPO action and, you know, bringing companies public for, you know, $6, $7, $8, $9 a share.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the small investors involved in IPOs. And then the big boys said, you know, SEC, NASD, you got to look at those small firms. And then they got the SEC to say, yeah, you got it. You can't do IPOs anymore because, you know, the owners of the firms, they were getting a lot of stock and we were making a ton of money, 20-25% commission on the inside. So all the small firms, you know, basically had to shut down. Didn't have to, but, you know, you can't make money going to those clients and saying, well, you got to put $1 million into Microsoft because I can only charge a 4% commission. You know,
right.
they didn't have $1 million, right? So, you know, basically, effectively, they knew. I mean, it was shut down or, you know, make 10,000 phone calls a day and try to survive. So
mm-hmm.
that happened. You know, I was involved in that. I had an office at 80 Broadway, right in the corner of Wall Street and Broadway. And
nice.
That was a few years after Jordan Belfort. He started out at 120 Broadway,
yep.
so just one
okay.
building down. But, you know, I reinvented myself, got into a subprime credit card and a credit franchise and built myself up in Connecticut, of all places, because I had money when I left Wall Street. And then moved here to Arizona and got into the mortgage banking industry, started a
mm-hmm.
company here, and did very well from 2003 to 2008 with two business partners. And then
mm-hmm.
we all know about the 2008-2009 real estate and mortgage, you know, failures out there around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Really impacting America. So, you know, I spent 4 to 5 years on Wall Street. 4 to 5 years later, you know, in the mortgage banking industry, was not a mortgage broker. We were a mortgage banker. I had a banker's license out of the
mm-hmm.
Bank of Miami because I had friends of mine from
yeah.
Wall Street who were running the show there. So my fraternity brothers.
Nice.
So really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we made great money, and I kept my money and was able to have a, you know, I reinvented myself because I was very good at poker and spent
mm-hmm.
3 years trying to negotiate a professional poker career between Arizona and Las Vegas. 3 months here, 3 months there, 3 months here, 3 months there. Played in the World Series of Poker. 3 years in a row, not the main event, but the smaller bracelet events. And, you know, and then fast forward here, I was running a furniture company right as the pandemic hit. I was doing really well, working 4 days a week, you know, macking $70,000 a year, working 4 days a week, right? It was ridiculous.
No.
I had Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays off, right? A 3-day weekend, right?
Perfect.
And, and then COVID hits, fast forward a couple of years later here, and, you know, I was lucky to still have, you know, some cash that I had put aside in a safety deposit box and reinventing myself again in the Arabian horse breeding world And, you know, right now, you know, I'm sitting on a mare mm-hmm. with a business partner, and we're, you know, 2-4 weeks out from a birth here. Very substantial bloodline Arabian horse, substantial mm-hmm. on not only the mare side, but also on the stud side. So, you know, the point, and it's not to impress anything, it's to impress upon the bachelors that are listening. You have to reinvent yourself. You've got to understand that even, you know, you're going to have successes and you're going to have failures. The trick is to have higher highs and higher lows. So when you are successful, mm-hmm. unlike some of my past business partners, put some cash aside in the safety deposit box so that if anything goes wrong, if anything goes sideways and south, you've got cash to hold your head above water and have some time to reinvent yourself and mm-hmm. come out swinging. Don't worry about, you know, it's not about how many times you get hit and knocked down. It's about how many times you get up, dust yourself off, and go forward again up that climb, right? So that's just never the kind of guy that I could never go to work for a corporation, get a gold watch, you know, and a retire just above broke, right? I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so I've been able to reinvent myself. I've always kept my expenses low.
Yes.
You know, I never paid more than $1,000 for any rent that I've ever had. In the past, mm-hmm. I owned four homes, rental properties. Now, we were talking about where I am now. So with the horse breeding, I'm also horse boarding at one property for other clients of mine. And I'm in two barns for residency. I've got a bedroom in one horse barn on a horse ranch, 2 minutes away from the other horse ranch. So I got bath and bedroom here, really, really nice, real comfortable, zero cost. At the other ranch, my renters pay all the feed, all the board, all the expense of that location. And I've got a living room over there, and I've got a gym with about $10,000 worth of gym equipment in it. So I've got a workout center. I've got a living room, kitchenette at one barn. I've got a bedroom, bathroom, kitchenette at another barn. And I don't pay any rent. The maximum I'll ever pay.
You got your own bachelor's den, man. That's the bachelor's den. Yeah.
I got two set up.
That's awesome.
You know, one with a loft for storage and three TVs right across each other. College football season, I can watch three football games at the same time.
There you go.
You know,
that's the best
thing. You got to learn to adapt. You got to be adaptable, and you got to be able to reinvent while you're adapting, right? So
right.
I think the lesson to be learned, and I was always lucky to be in this line. I had great mentors in my life who taught me these lessons. You know, always don't finance a vehicle. Never finance a car. Finance a home, but buy it cheap, fix it up. And I, you know, I was lucky. I was involved in the HUD auctions back in the day mm-hmm. before realtors started bringing their clients and bidding homes up. So I, you know, was able to buy it at a HUD auction, you know, 5, 10, 15 grand, put, you know, 10, 20 grand into it, get a $70,000 mortgage, put money in my pocket, rent it out, and let the equity build. To the point where when I started the mortgage banking company, it was all out of the homes. I didn't have to reach into my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Sell back east. And, you know, you got to be able to make moves. You got to be not only adaptable, but you got to be able to make maneuvers when the time calls for it. And, you know, about a year ago, the time called for me to get involved in this Arizona Arabian horse industry with the breeding because somebody just didn't have the money to do it, but they had the mare to do it, right? They owned the mare,
right.
Didn't have the money to get the stud breeding into the mare. So that's where I came in. So, you know, when opportunity knocks, you got to be able to make a move without reaching for a credit card and begging, you know, for money. I didn't have to beg for any money. And you know, if you can start doing that when you're young, you know, and I was lucky because I came out of college with my degrees in finance and accounting, and my mentor, very smart older man, said, "Hit the streets, kid. Don't go to Wall Street yet. Hit the streets and get a street education. Then go down to Wall Street."
Mm-hmm.
And that taught me big lessons because it got me successful on the street, you know, highs and lows, but got me to some success where I ended up going to Wall Street and being a little different than everybody else, being able to be on the team that brought the companies public instead of just being a stock jock only. So,
right.
You know, you got to be able to, when you're young, live in a box. You know, I was paying $400 rent, bottom half of a house, and drove all over New England, Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, you name it. Learned the art of selling with my, you know, academic background, and it allowed me to be able to, you know, push my wares, push my knowledge base, push my experience when a lot of kids were going down at 22 years old to Wall Street with no experience, just a degree. I went down at 27 with 2 degrees, a lot of street experience, success behind me. Now you got a sellable skill set. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that
right.
brought me more skill, more set, more skill, more set.
Sure.
Now I'm looking at least the possibility, the potential possibility of a second shot at a poker career with a much bigger bankroll than when I did it some years back. So,
you got plans and dreams, and that's what you need, plans and dreams, and you can implement them, and that's what it's about. You pick yourself back up. Like you said, you dust yourselves off, guys, and eventually – if you're persistent, you are going to make it. You're going to make it. It's universal law. It's going to happen to you. But the guys that give
I'll tell you what, though. Even if you don't make it.
There'll be a bum.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't make it. And I'll tell you, because this lesson I learned at 18 years old. My grandfather, on my mother's side, died with so much regret of never having gone for his dreams ever and being told, don't do that, you'll lose your money, don't do that, that I was there when he died. And, you know, we talked about this, like how he died with all that weight on him of never having gone for it, realizing now he's going to die, obviously way too late to do anything about it, right?
Right.
And that's why I think that was another lesson when I went through college and, you know, hit this Main Street, then Wall Street, back to Main Street. I always remember, like, I've always been able to go for it, but I've set myself up financially to be able to say, yes, I'm in. So,
mm-hmm.
and so I, you know, I always look back and say, you know, even if I don't make it, right, if
mm-hmm.
I never reach that pinnacle, right, at least
mm-hmm.
I won't die with the regret that my grandfather died with, that I watched him die.
That's
with,
right.
Right.
That's right.
And that alone is priceless.
You got to try.
Right?
Exactly. You got to try. And I'm a big, big believer too, Paul, of nothing ventured in life, nothing gained, whether it's business, a woman you want, a house you want, a car you want, whatever. And you're right about that. You don't want to live with any kind of regret, guys. Life's too short for that. Go for it.
Absolutely.
Roll that dice Vegas style and see what happens.
All right. I'll tell you the one time I didn't go for it, I'll tell you. I was in Connecticut. I remember where I was. I was in Cromwell, Connecticut at a Sunoco gas station, filling up my work truck before I went down to Wall Street. I was on the street selling. Beautiful girl, and I'm talking beautiful auburn red long hair with
knockout.
Beautiful sweater on. But she
mm-hmm.
was a 12 ass, okay?
Nice.
I mean, she was absolutely gorgeous, man. I'm throwing my truck up. She walks by me to go inside to give the attendant cash. She turns and smiles at me, goes in, hands cash, comes back out. She walks right by me again, smiles at me. I don't say a flipping word. She was the most beautiful.
Yeah, I know. You're mesmerized. You're paralyzed. You're paralyzed.
And
it happens to get
She goes over, puts gas in her car. We're staring at each other. She looks at me again and smiles, puts the gas pump away, goes over to the other side of the side of her car, opens the car door, looks at me. She shrugs her shoulder at me, and she goes, "It's too late now. I got to go." And she gets in her car and drives away.
Oh, my God. That's the fish that got away. The fish that got away.
There's the lesson, right? Like, she was looking inviting me to say, "Give me your phone number. Let's get together. Let's go out." Right? That was a lesson.
Let's do something.
I've never not gone for any other woman in my life, but I'll tell you something. There's not a week or month that goes by in my life that I don't think about that girl. I was 20. She was the most gorgeous creature I've ever laid eyes on. And the regret of that one moment scares me to this day to teach me, again, the lesson my grandfather taught me, right? Like, always go for your business and monetary gain dreams and desires. But even in a personal relationship, always go for that as well. Never let a woman that hits you with lightning like that, never let her get away without at least something to her, acting. Can we get
together?
It's
a great life story. And it's another cautionary tale, guys. And it happens to everybody. And sometimes you see the most beautiful thing in your life, and it stops you dead in your tracks. What are you going to do? Yeah, so, you know, lesson learned. Chalk it up. Paul, that's an awesome story, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Awesome, brother.
Later.
It's a good one. That's a good one. The, the gas station, like Paul said, you're out there. Beautiful woman. And that's where I come in, where I say nothing venture, nothing gain. But sometimes we're tongue-tied, aren't we? You see a knockout in front of you, and your mind's cluttered, and you're thinking of five things in every microsecond. Or 20 or 100, you can't just focus in the moment, you know? But I guarantee you, we'll never make that mistake again, right? Damn right. God. Good story, Paul. Well, we will have a few things here coming on. American Scotch will be up next. We've got a few more calls after that. We've got Irish Pirate on the board. And this show is always very legendary. So get your cocktail, get your cigar. The show continues.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. That you're the Muriel, the God-smoking kind. So let me get right to the point. You're right in style when you're in Muriel's company. Hey, Big Spender, spend a little dime with me. Hey, Big Spender, spend a little dime with me. Join the Muriel Miles crowd. Pick one up and smoke it sometime.
There's many, many cautionary tales out there in life. And some of you guys are out there. And look, you don't have to call in. I get it. You're young. You're listening. Think of us as your as the brother you never had, the uncle you never had, the father you never had, next door neighbor you never had. Sit back and listen. That's what I did. That was a young buck coming up. I never called into a talk radio show until I was about 30, age 30. Because I said, I really need to learn from these guys and use what you can use and throw away what you can't use. My best advice, do what works for you. But I sat there and I listened. You guys are out there. Just sit back, listen to The Gladiator, listen to American Scotch, listen to me, listen to Irish Pirate. Listen to other guys and impart their wisdom to you. Great stories. Listen and learn. And then when you feel right, you call in with your own story. Many of you young guys are very articulate. You're very glib, but you don't have that wisdom yet. But you'll get it. You'll get that street wisdom, I promise you. It's a lot like this advertisement.
Men. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated cheese. Take it off. Take it all off. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
The closer you shave, the more you need Noxzema. Noxzema medicated comfort shave.
Love that. Well, with that, let's get to American Scotch from Wyoming. And he's got a ranch also out there. American Scotch, welcome to The Bachelor Show. How are you doing, sir? Are you there? American Scotch. Going once. Going twice. We got you, buddy. How you doing? How are you, man?
There you are. I'm good. I'm good.
We've been busy on guests, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a busy week, man. It's been a busy week. I'm just getting ready to post another Gab post for the listeners and the radio audience regarding the Bachelor world. And listening to Gladiator's story, we've all got that story. Those ones that we wish we'd have just said the hell with it and talked to her, but it happens to all of us.
I know.
It happens.
It's happened to every guy. It's going to happen to every guy. You'll be sitting there pumping gas, and the woman of your dreams walks right in front of you at a gas station.
Yeah.
A Sunoco gas station in Connecticut or anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, just how different the game is. How different the game is when you and I were in our 20s, mid-20s, late-20s versus our dads. And now look at how different the game is now for these young bucks versus what we're used to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You look at, I mean, I was just watching a show the other day, and it was about young people. It was singles. You remember that movie? It was Matt Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
I do.
Yeah.
I remember it.
One of my favorite movies. I've always loved it. I own it. I was watching. I was like, I haven't seen this in a while. I threw it in the Blu-ray player. And it struck me because I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be great to talk with Vaughn about. The game that single people had in the 90s. Now, that film was released in 91, and so it was filmed and produced 89, 90, so about a year or two usually before movie release. But just the way women and men interacted 30 years ago is so different than today, it blew my mind, bro. I mean, the way that they were getting into video dating for the first time. Like, that was a shocking, cutting-edge thing. I mean, look at it now. Now we're on Tinder. Now we're on Plenty of Fish or Match.com or Cupid or OkCupid, whatever the hell, you know, eHarmony, whatever these website things are. Or you're just hooking up on DMs on Instagram is what most kids are doing. They're not even playing the game on dating apps.
Right.
They're just throwing each other messages and just saying, hey, here's my number, let's hook up. And then that's it, and
right.
You're off and running. But just the difference in the game alone. And, you know, if you approached a girl like, you know, you were interested, like Paul was saying, I wish I had talked to that redhead and said, here, here's my number. Or if you and I had a missed opportunity, whatever the opportunity was or whatever the girl looked like.
Oh, yeah.
But today, you look like a simp. You look like a simp, or you're being thirsty, they call it. Like, you can't even really show interest like you used to, because then you're kind of deemed like a simp. You're being too thirsty, so you got to play it cool. So nobody's even showing real emotion anymore. And it's no
right.
wonder that the interpersonal relationship scene is so out of hand, crazy bad, where people don't even get to the altar. I mean, when you and I were 20, 30 years ago, it was still a struggle trying to get the marriage to work because divorces were already climbing, and it wasn't as bad as 10 years before, but it's gotten successively worse each and every single year, each every 5 years. It just keeps going up.
That's right.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, the world is changing on us. We are not the ones changing. That's sometimes the important
right.
thing to tell the young guys. It's not you, buddy. Sometimes the world's changing on you. And you know what? It's not just sometimes. It's happening all the time for all of us. For all of us.
That's
These
right.
These women are so dysfunctional now. They have their priorities all in the wrong order. They're too busy trying to be manly. They're too busy trying to put you in your emotional place. And men are too easy to just go to that second backseat position, which is completely dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And you look at what's happening, and these people, they get married. They last 3 months, 6 months. They're already in divorce court. I mean, I have got so many friends that are on their third marriage, and they before they were even 40 years old, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you trying to be, the next Liz Taylor? What's wrong with you? Three marriages and you're not even 40
exactly.
years old.
Exactly.
How
can you afford that?
I don't understand.
No wonder you guys are broke. No wonder.
Yeah. I mean, one marriage would be it for me. One divorce, one marriage, and that's it. If it doesn't work, then I tried it, and I'll get some horses. I'll have a dog.
Right.
Buddies,
yeah.
And I'll make trips down to Costa Rica or Brazil or Colombia. There you go. And I'm not going to play.
If you need sex, guys, I'm telling you, if you're not getting it here in the States, I'll be blunt. Fly overseas. It's everywhere.
Amen.
Except America.
Amen.
Except America. This nation's so effed up that guys have got to go overseas, hop on jets, get your passports, get some cash, go to Costa Rica. Go to South America. Have fun. Go to Panama, Colombia, wherever. You have a great time. I guarantee it. Be careful. Be smart.
Exactly.
But it's a hell of a lot closer to fly there and a lot cheaper than flying to frickin' Asia. So they're about to break out in a war. We'll get that into that on Thursday night, trust me. But on the fun show, man, it's all about wine, women, and song. And men like that. And we need that. See, women don't need that. We do. Women
That's
talk
right.
a big game, but they would say how hard it is, BS. They can get laid on a moment's notice, to be blunt. If a woman really wants to get laid, she knows damn well, she may have to settle a little bit, go from a 9.5 to a 7 or a 6, but he'll be doable. She can get that, you know? But, man, our game's totally different. And like I said on last week's show, which fits into our conversation, Scotch, we don't need millions of men from Mexico and Central America coming up to this country. We need millions of women of childbirth and dating age, 18 to 35, when they're hot.
Yeah.
We need millions of women. I saw a line the other day, all Chinese men. Another video, all Hispanic men. One lady with two kids who was married. But I'm going, you know, that's the problem with this country. It's beginning to be what we called back in the day a sausage fest, a sausage bar. Where's the women? I see men everywhere. We're stripping over. Now, if you're a woman, America's a paradise. Oh, you got the courts on your side. The media's on your side. As I said in the monologue, this is the greatest. Why does every woman want to be a little blonde Scottsdale girl. They have all the rights on their side. They damn well know it. You touch them the wrong way, sexual harassment, right? If you if you bang them too forcibly, date rape. Call 911. You look at them at the mall for too long. Oh, call up mall security. He's a perv. He's staring at me. I don't like it. He's over 25. He makes me uncomfortable. He might be a nationalist.
Oh my. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Screw him.
Unbelievable.
Right? So,
it
goes on and on and on. But you know what I mean.
Yep.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's so true. And I posted something earlier. I mean, in addition to everything you just outlined, everything that Gladiator talked about, because the economics are a huge part, but I'm gonna throw one, you know, another wrinkle in this. And this is something that all of us have been dealing with, but we really didn't realize it. And it's the hormonal changes that have happened in society for both sexes. So let's take the females first, okay? Because everybody knows that little pill. The pill has been around for how many decades now? It's part of American culture. You can thank the feminist movement. Yeah. The women don't want to deal with childbirth. Because of this artificial hormone that they've been taking, it has changed women's ability to read the landscape and to pick the right mate, because they're picking based on an artificial hormone stimuli in their body. And people are wondering, like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, we were happy, we were dating, then we got married, we were living together, we wanted to wait to have kids. Boom, she gets off the pill because we're trying to get pregnant. She gets pregnant, they have the child, then all of a sudden, she turns on him. I don't like you. This guy's not anything for me. He has nothing to do with me. I have no attraction to this guy. I can't stand him. Because now, she's tracking naturally. Her pheromones and her ability to pick a mate is now tracking as her body and her DNA truly wanted it. She's not reading off of an artificial pill. This is a really big deal. And this has been happening all over this country and Western Europe and the other, you know, first world countries where the pill's been introduced. And this is why divorce rates are 60, 70, 80% for first marriages, 10% worse on second, and sometimes 15 or 20% worse for round number three. Because, you know, they've done these experiments. I put that post out there where they had like 7-8 guys wear a T-shirt. They had no deodorant on, no cologne on, and they just put a T-shirt on, a nice clean white T-shirt, all had the same brand T-shirt right out of the bag. They made them walk on the treadmill for 45 minutes to get nice and sweaty. They stuck each one of these shirts in a bag, and all these girls smelled the shirts after about 3 days of them sitting in there, just to test pheromonal strength. And the guys that they all picked, they picked the guy that had the most different immune system than they themselves as women had. Now, what does that tell you?
Interesting.
They're trying to match. Yeah, it's about the child. It's about procreation. It's about having a kid. And if two people who've got too similar of an immune system create a child, that child is at risk of getting sick and major illnesses or potentially death. Whereas if people are opposite of each other in a you know, immune system type spectrum, you're going to produce offspring that are hardier. And so when they were able to smell those shirts without a pill being taken, then they could track and meet the right guy. So once again, we are going back to the design of society, the population control, the social engineering of it all. And you know what? It gets even worse, because that's bad enough. The rise of anabolic steroid use for men just in the last 30 years, Vaughn. Now, you're telling me that if it's affecting women smelling or guys tracking the wrong woman because of the pill being different, it's the same thing with women smelling us. When you are jacked up on all these hormones, and God, I'm telling you, since 91, 92, steroids have just become a total natural thing for most young men to be on anymore. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating how big it is. 70s, it was only Schwarzenegger and a couple guys in Gold's Gym in Venice. 80s, you had Gasparri and Lee Haney. It was getting a little bit more hardcore. But the 90s and 2000s, I mean, guys were taking it like it was just a supplement from GNC. So
Oh yeah, they were popping in like candy, right?
Candy. I mean, they were looking. It was like a Clif bar or protein powder. It's like, oh, I'm taking
sure.
this, that, and this. And these guys were taking stacks that would make most.
No
of
big
the
deal.
Guys like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
easy peasy.
If you look at
the, yeah.
Yeah. What a minefield. What a disaster zone in American marriages today in the last 30, 40 years because of both of these factors. So it's, you know, these guys that are out there, you know, Gladiator's talking to them, hey, look, you know, pay attention to your P's and Q's financially. Pay attention to your job. Save your money. Amen. But furthermore, guys, don't do what society tells you to do or what you're pushed by your buddies to do in the gym. And don't be and be more selective with who you're talking to, because if these girls you're meeting in the club are popping these birth control pills, yeah, you may hook up and everybody wants to have a good time. But if you start falling for the wrong one and she falls for the wrong one with you, you got divorce court waiting for you. And I'm telling you, if there's one thing in life that I could teach my son, it's exactly this program, even more than politics. It's this right here, how to navigate.
That's right.
This nuclear
yeah.
option of women. It is unbelievable in this country.
Yeah, this is what's really the undercurrent of politics is, guys,
Amen.
If you want to boil it down, is male-female relationships. From that,
yep.
nations have sprung. Politics has sprung. We always talk about the macro on the Thursday show. This show is more like the micro
yep.
analysis. Of the street, what you're talking about, Scotch, and you know the incrementalism, what happens to male female dating, the toxic dating environment, etc. This is where it all starts. This is sort of like the
yep.
Big Bang Theory, pun intended.
Yep.
This
well,
is it, baby. You know.
And you're watching exactly what you and I've been talking about, in addition to what Gladiator talked about, you know, unfolding in real time. And what country is hit the worst with this? Japan absolutely drank the Kool-Aid since the early 80s, late 70s about career, feminism, women, you need to get in that workforce, don't have babies, get that white-collar job, bank that money, get those Benzes, get that high-rise condominium jewel box,
sure.
you know, view of the city of Tokyo, and look at it now. They have cities that are being abandoned. 100% ghost towns in rural Japan now. They don't have enough people.
Yeah.
They don't have enough men there, Vaughn, to keep the baby birth going. They're going to have to import men into Japan. This is no joke. Hand to God. It's absolutely a crisis. Like within 50 to 75 years, Japan
Whoa.
Is literally going to be an extinct species as a race of people because nobody's been
Well,
having
I will tell you this. All right, Scotch, I will volunteer to go to Japan as well as my camera crew and our listeners. We will repopulate Japan. There'll be a super male, an Uber male, a Germanic, Italian, Japanese Uber male of the Asian Pacific Rim Theater. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll go over there, have a great time. We'll rule Tokyo. The cigar in my mouth like General MacArthur. And Roll Bruce over there. How about those apples? I would love that.
Pappy Boynton, of course, there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the Black Sheep Squadron. Yes, we are.
Yeah, I mean, some of the greatest morally grounded people of all. I mean, those women are just...
Oh, the Japanese women are gorgeous.
It's so sad, though. It is so sad when people have drank this Kool-Aid by these people in the synagogues that have pushed this matrix on everybody, and they've all drank it down without even thinking about it, without even any second thought. Our country's literally on the verge of total extinction because of it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, everybody wants to view the women, want the Mercedes Benzes all over the world. Every dream of every girl in the entire world is to be an American blonde girl. Because in America, we all know that the American blonde worldwide is the top of the pecking order. Regardless of what your personal preference is, it's always the American blonde, then the American brunette, and then it goes to probably the hot Hispanic, right? And then the hot Asian, and the African woman is at the very bottom of the totem pole. Hate to break it to you, lady, that's really the way it works. Why does every African woman always dye her hair blonde? She's trying to be a little blonde girl.
That's right.
Why does every girl put blonde highlights in her hair? Trying to look blonde.
Yeah. That's right.
Why they buy blue contact lenses? They want to be a blue-eyed blonde. And so Botox, like blonde, makes them more voluptuous. That is the pecking order of women. And guys know it. Women know it. Women know it. But you're right about this. Look, it's a worldwide phenomenon where people want the view of Tokyo, right? And you're right, they cannot reproduce themselves. The women have opted out of childbirth. And you're right, these nations are going to go extinct in 30 to 40 years.
It's not being hyperbolic. This is a real friggin' thing, man. I mean, we are in declining birth rates in every single industrialized nation on this planet. Everyone in Western Europe, Canada, United States, New Zealand, Australia, every single one of them, declining birth rates. It couldn't be further from the truth, this myth of overpopulation, and it's always been a myth. Always been a myth, and it technically will always be a myth. There's no way to overpopulate this planet. There's just not going to happen. It doesn't exist. And people will say, well, you know, that's not true, Scotch, because of garbage and because of lack of resources. BS on the lack of resources. We have unlimited everything, and water is a completely never-ending, always renewable resource. It's always cleaning itself, okay? These myths that people have coupled with the depopulation fear is what has got us into this mess, especially with our enemies on the left. And I call them enemies because that's what they are. All they want to do is push these damn solar panels on you and me and everybody else and get away from your kick-ass Dodge truck and go drive this Prius piece of crap or some plug-in hybrid. Get out of here.
We don't want that Prius piece of crap. That's what
exactly.
It is.
We're going to drive big trucks.
It might be economical. It wouldn't be condemned one either.
No way. We're Americans.
I laugh at those.
We're going to kick ass.
Yeah, you want to kick ass and take names. Damn right. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA.
Yeah.
This country was founded by the gun and revolution. What more do you want for machismo? That's the most machismo thing of all.
Yeah, everything about the left is just constant. It's always just fear and retreating and giving something else up and giving something else up, whether it's for the spotted owl or for the ozone layer. I mean, get out of my fucking face, man. And now it's literally affecting the human future. And that's the whole point of it. That's the whole nut of all.
That's
it.
What they it's want. They want the human want future it. Deeply affected. And this is
it's
what
the panic
this is why we have the Bachelor show. Right? They want to screw up the day-to-day male to female basic relationships that you're talking about, Scotch, that used to happen on the streets of America. They poison the well.
Yep.
It's now a toxic dating environment. And like I said, guys, if there are some guys that just luck out, women will fall on your lap. Wonderful. Enjoy the girls. Stay put. You hit a gold vein. The rest of us may need to leave the country. And that would be the biggest brain drain for America ever. I'll be doing the show from overseas. And I've told friends, I am looking at parts of South America where I already have connections. And I'm already talking to people, not to live there 24/7, but to go down 2 or 3 months a year, part-time expat. Damn right. Absolutely.
You bet.
I'm looking at
Amen.
It. I'm looking at it hard. Yeah. I'm looking at cost of living, the best places. So I have a big trip planned down the road, and I want to go check out, really, I'll probably go to 3 or 4 countries. And I've got places I need to see. And I'm a big believer of boots on the ground, because this is a great country. But again, on the dating side of things, yeah, we're in a mess, man. And Scotch, those issues you are bringing up are very, very relevant. You know,
This is war. I mean, it's fun to talk about, you know, women and sundresses and how hot this girl or that girl was and missed opportunities or what bars are badass. But, you know, when you get down to it, it's all about the continuation of the species. And I know that sounds clinical as shit, but this is a war, and we're not winning this right now. This is a really big deal. It's a really big deal. And I fear that it's just, if people don't really start taking this seriously really soon, it's going to be way too little too late. And I think for a lot of the young guys, I feel for all of you, because I see these women on these TikToks and Snapchats and Instagram pages, and they're all dish rag whores to the nth degree. They're all complete garbage, and they all think they're tens, and they demand you lick their feet. And the hoflation that we are all suffering from is a very real thing. You got to work 10 times as hard for a woman that's 10% of the women that our granddads had 100 years ago.
That's right. And they want money now. They got their hand out. Hoflation is a big thing. It sounds funny to some people, but it's true. It's hoflation. They want money. They want dinners out. Not even a regular. No. They want big steakhouse surf and turf type dinners, and they don't deserve it. They're not that hot. And I always tell guys, if you just meet a girl, don't wine and dine her. First date should be get to know her, feel her out. What's going on? What's her story? Meet her for coffee, meet her for tea, meet her for an appetizer, if you will. But don't buy her surf and turf. You're not going to impress her. She's just going to think you're another cuck, another sucker who bought her dinner. She'll say thank you and abruptly leave. It's happened to many guys I know, and it's a current trend where they're going back to dating for dinner, which is what women used to do in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And back then it was a depression. Well, it hasn't changed a whole lot today with the economy. It's all relative scales of economy, right? So things are bad today, and man, you can't afford that. You can't afford these bills of restaurants, $150 for surf and turf. And that's what it costs. They don't want no Applebee's, okay, or KFC or Taco Bell or Chili's. They want the real thing. American Scotch, thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk on Thursday night, I guarantee it. Thanks, man.
You got it. Take care, Vaughn.
Bye. Have a great night. You bet. Bye-bye. American Scotch, great call from Wyoming. Well, the Irish Pirate will be up next. And, these women, I'll tell you a little story. I've heard a couple, some good ones tonight. We'll get some more coming in. We had one caller drop off from L.A. again. If you're out there in Los Angeles, call in. We're a nationwide show in 28 countries now and growing. A lot of you guys are out there tonight. We know you are. We can tell by our stats. I've encouraged you, sit back. Don't drink a Bud Light. Drink a real German beer, okay? Drink a manly machismo beer. We are a machismo show. Not that trans queer beer stuff, okay? And listen to what these guys have got to tell you. Listen to me. Listen to the show. Enjoy the promos. Enjoy the music. We play music to set the tone, kind of like a Roman mass. Going to church. Why do they have music at church? It's to get you into a certain state of mind. Trance. Trance is good. Ritual is good. This show is a ritual. Every week. I pound it out with you and people, and it's sort of a staple in your schedule, in my schedule. It's been there for years. If you're a young guy, sit back and listen. Just sit back and listen to these cautionary tales. Listen to the wisdom. Listen to the talk, the conjecture, the psychology. I've always said, keep things simple at the same time. Don't go too far deep down the rabbit hole. You're going to go insane. You're going to go crazy. It's that fucked up. Trust me. It really is that effed up. And we use profanity on the show because sometimes it's the only word that's going to have impact on a guy's mind. It's also how real people talk. This is the real show for real people out there in America, real callers, and you have something to say, passionate callers. I love life stories. Told a friend before the show again that met this girl at, she's a friend of the family, we'll put it that way. Everyone she meets is always successful. Nobody ever has a gray day. Well, that's a bunch of BS. Everyone has gray days. Everyone has some days where you're not quite sure where you're going. That's you tune into the Von Wien Show, you recalibrate, restart the engines, get in place so you can take off down the runway. The more ways than one. It's time to get a second cocktail or two or three, and we'll be back. I like that little organ riff from the classic movie in my movie library called Modesty Blaze. To give them credit for that. Well, I'll tell you a story of mine. Excuse me. I met a girl during the holidays at those holiday light shows, right? We hit it off. We're doing great. A dramatic Aryan blonde girl. Nice rack. She's falling all over me in the party bus, right? We're in a big stretch limo in North Scottsdale, North Phoenix. Look at the lights. We're in our coats. It's nice and nippy. I love winter in Arizona. It gets cold. It's gorgeous. Blue skies. We're out there at night having a good time. She's flirting. Now, here's the typical thing. They'll flirt with you. They'll talk with you. They'll give you their number. She's sitting on my lap. We're drinking cocktail. I thought, man, I scored tonight. I got a good one. Got me a wild one. Got me another one. We'll see where it goes, right? Well, give her a call after the event. And typical. I was a little leery, but I thought, I always believe in the theory, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So I always call. And when I got on the phone, we're chit-chatting. What's the first thing that came out of her mouth, basically, in the first couple of sentences? She had to pronounce to me, she goes, "Well, Vaughn, guess what? I want you to know that I'm a Morton Steakhouse girl." And I played them, and I go, "Morton's, I think I've heard about them. Are they any good?" Just my quirky sense of humor. "Of course they're good. They're on Scottsdale Road. And if you want to meet me, we got to go to Morton Steakhouse. I want surf and turf." What did I tell you, boys? I never even brought up food. I go, "What is this, the food channel?" "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "I didn't call you talking about food." And then I talk to the girl and flip the script on and go, "What are you talking about? Are you a foodie? Do you love food? Do you love surf and turf?" No, so we're interviewing her like I'm on Channel 10 Fox News. I said, "Look, I'll buy you all the damn steaks you want. No problem. Sky's the limit, baby. But first, why don't we meet for a Starbucks or something, or a drink or an appetizer, hang out for a while and kind of go from there. I want to get to know her a little bit better, right?" So try to persuade her. Nope. Would have nothing to do with it. No. Morton's or nothing. Boy. Well, I'm like Michael Corleone of The Godfather. I can easily walk away from any business deal or any woman. They have no power over me. And you guys out there better get that attitude. Like Mr. Corleone said, my answer to you is this, honey bun. I give you absolutely nothing. 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 How about those apples? You want to play hardball? I will trump you and play hardball. Harder than you ever could. She went, what? No guy's ever said no to me to a Morton steak. And she was a pretty girl. I go, well, I'll be happy to meet you. Let's get together. Let's have fun. Let's have a good life together, whatever you want to do. Date, whatever. But she went, no, I'm a Morton Steakhouse girl. I go, well, I'm not a Morton Steakhouse giveaway program. I'm not your female reparations program. Okay, capiche? If you want to go there, I'll meet you there and go Dutch. Nope, nope. She thought about that for a moment. No, every guy's always paid for me for my essence being there. And I go, well, enjoy eating alone then, because I give you absolutely nothing. Don't fall into that dinner trap, guys. It happens to guys constantly. All these women want, they want to use you for your ATM. You're a walking ATM machine to them. You're a walking wallet. They want dinner. And not just any dinner. You're going to wave that vagina over your head. And they do. And you know I'm right. When you think about it, get off your soapbox. Get off your high horse. You know Uncle Vaughn's right. And I tell the younger guys in my office the same thing. Watch out for this stuff. They go, God, you're right. How do you know this stuff? Because I've lived. I've lived and I know the female brain. I know the American female better than they even know themselves. I study them. I research them. I know how their minds think. And you're not looking for professional women that call themselves Morton's Steakhouse girls. Now, this was a girl that probably hasn't had a guy buy her, in truth, a Morton's Steakhouse meal in 10 years. But they're going to try. They're going to try to beat it out of you. To a girl that's winning, to a man scoring with her sexually, normally is the win. But to women, getting money out of your wallet's the win. Can I get him to buy me a dinner and then bail? Ha ha, joke's on you. I win. Bye. As she scoots out the side door. Won't even give you the courtesy of a hug or a kiss on the cheek and say, thank you, sir. Thank you. You're a wonderful date. You're a wonderful man. Whatever. Those days are gone. It's a game to them. A game. I'm telling you guys, I've been on their chat rooms before. I've infiltrated some of them for the fun of it. The things they say, it's all about getting your money. I keep telling you that. Uncle Vaughn is telling you the truth. Why would I lie to my own brothers, my own warrior brothers? Now, there's not all women are like that, but the vast majority are. They're tatted up whores. They have piercings from head to toe. Some don't, but even those that are over 30 think they're God's gift to men, and they're not, but they think they are. They've been brainwashed. That's why I tell you, if you're not happy here, leave this country. I don't know if you've seen all the violence over the weekend. We'll get it out on Thursday, but a lot of our cities are inhabitable. The women have changed dramatically, drastically, and we are just a nation state where the women are money grubbers and they want to use you guys. And I say use them back. Use women. Chew them up. Spit them out. Next. Next. Do it like that. Have the concept of next in your mind. Never get sold on this one. You're better off being alone. And I told you this before. Get comfortable in your own fucking skin. Okay, you're going to be alone a lot in the future. Because the women have changed dramatically. It's no longer you can meet a girl for a cocktail or a coffee. Most of them don't even want to meet you. They say, how much money do you have? What are you going to pay me to meet you? I get paid to meet guys now. And guys are such simps, so weak, that they're paying girls, and it's getting around like wildfire. They're just paying them just to have a girl at a bar. You walk into a bar, the girls are all in a what I call the egg cluster. They all sit in a circle like a female egg. It's biology 101, right? You're the sperm trying to nuzzle in there. Yeah, you're the sperm. And that's how they view you. You're just another sperm donor trying to get into the egg. Okay? Why do women dance in a circle on a dance floor? They always dance in a circle. It's for protection. It's the egg. The egg concept. No man can get in because it's a girl's night out, right? Now you have to compete with that. You also have to compete with lesbians, that the lesbian and trans culture is rampant in America. So as a young heterosexual stud, a man on the make, a young buck, I should say, when we were all there, we still are young at heart. I'm still a young buck. Here's the deal. As a young centurion, you guys know this if you're in your 20s or 30s, especially. I go out to Scottsdale bars all the time, bars in Phoenix, North Phoenix, Scottsdale, Desert Ridge, you and name it. And I watch the people. But the thing is, the women, look, they're in their own world and don't get sucked into buying them dinners. If a girl doesn't want to meet you, then you've got no business being with her. And don't be throwing money at her on the first date. It's bad, bad, bad. It's a bad way to start. Well, it's a good way to start your dysfunctional relationship, put it that way. Don't throw money at her. Just meet her. And you trust me, go through enough women, you'll find the ones that want to meet. It takes time, effort, and money, but you'll find them eventually. Focus on those girls, the ones that don't have their hand out like a two-bit whore asking for a 20 or 100 or 200. Oh, my God. Women know that the men are looking, but you got to compete with lesbians that are after your same women. You do, and especially in these big, big cities like L.A., big Scottsdale, Dallas. Big Scottsdale is the Dallas, by the way, of the Southwest. I used to live in Dallas, the real Dallas, and now I live in the Dallas of the Southwest. Same thing. I noticed it 20, 30 years ago. When I was roaming the bars in Dallas, those big neon clubs, I was a young guy, you know, those big clubs. I would talk to a girl, her lesbian friend was right there. I had to compete with that crap. I said, something is effed up with this country. And I kept bumping into the lesbian couples, you know. And for some reason, it was weird. Now, it wasn't the kind that were the cool kind that wanted you to come along. These are the kinds that were militant lesbians. So I learned at a young age about the politics of all this stuff. Oh, I was very successful with women, don't get me wrong. But my point was, I had to go through a lot of numbers. It's the law of large numbers. It's a numbers game, guys. Numbers game. Always has been, always will be. Meet the right one, great. But when I came to Phoenix, Scottsdale, the same kind of thing happened. You got to compete now with, and be careful out there, because some girl may look, might be a man, looking like a woman. It's rampant. Like the Dylan guy in the Bud Light queer beer commercials. There's a lot of little Dylans out there running around. So make sure you look for that Adam's apple and make sure you size it up. Make sure it's a real female, if you know what I mean. And there are ways. But it's just strange. So I have friends of mine that live around the world. I know a few that are packing their bags. And many go over there for 6 months and come back. You know, that's the best of both worlds. Live in America or live in Arizona during the winter. During the summer, you get down to South America, especially the south of the equator, and it's winter down there, nice and cool, breezy, beautiful. You go skiing in Arizona during the winter. You go skiing in South America during July and August. How about those apples? Start thinking like that. I'm encouraging you guys start thinking about expat travel. Best way to handle a business deal or deal with a woman. I hate to say it, but it's true. The analogy is true. You're on a car lot. You don't like the deal. Walk away. The power of the walk away. The power of Michael Corleone saying, I offer you absolutely nothing. And mean it. Walk away from the deal. Get back in your car. Go home. Be comfortable in your own skin. Develop your own male friends, your own Goombas, your own rat pack, if you will. Your own mafia. An international mafia of guys that are expat travelers. Develop that. Focus on that. And to try to chase another tatted up American girl who does not pay you any homage or lip service at all in more ways than one. There are some great girls in America. The problem is, like I tell my friends, they're already picked up. A lot of them are. I see great girls. Oh, she's got a boyfriend. Oh, she's got a husband. Happily married. Off the market. Next. Remember the concept of next. Because when in business and love, it's the same thing. You'll probably find your love overseas anyway, where the women are more traditional. Some guys, that's the way to go. Be thinking about that as you go through life. And by all means, don't be a loser.
He's a loser, pay no mind what he says. He's a loser, he's got rocks in both his hands. He's a loser, he can't win, can't play the show. He's a loser, and you know how much I hate to say I told you so. But if you say it, cover follows on his track.
From the Mosquitoes from Gilligan's Island. Well, if you do go to Morton Steakhouse, and if you do delve in and dive in, I love Morton Steakhouse. It's not anything against Morton's or any kind of a steakhouse. They're a great place to eat, by the way, in case they're listening. We're not dissing you guys. We love you guys at Morton, so please don't get mad at the show. I love your Surf and Turf, by the way. They have great food. They're not a sponsor of the show, but they should be, damn it. But my point is a broader point. Any steakhouse you go to, and by the way, Phoenix Scottsdale, I thought Dallas had steakhouses, oh my God. The Arizona Ranchers have really kept us fed with great beef over the years. There's more great steakhouses here, I think, that would rival Dallas. But when you go out, be sure to wear your numero uno cologne.
Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold, numero uno green, numero uno red, numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes, all different, all wild. Find yours with the searcher kit, a jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno!
I always wear numero uno cologne. And with that, let's get the Irish pirate or tech wizard from the secret location. Maybe it's bunker tonight, I'm not sure, or it could be a barbed wire fenced off area somewhere in the deserts. We'll find out tonight. An Irish pirate. All hail the pirates. Welcome to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, my day was definitely getting out into the public and into schools and things like that. Then I definitely retreated to my retreat. I've only had about an hour of sleep, and I love my life.
Yes.
Oh man, it's just so good to actually see when you know that you can make a difference. And I realize most of the people that were on before, they were primarily businessmen, and they were in school for the business thing. But I represent that philosophical, spiritual, rational man that quite often doesn't find its way into the American anything, politics. You know, there are women out there looking for a real man. Of course, they're putting on all sorts of weird false shades of colors on their lips, getting the tummy
Thank
done,
you.
Trying to.
Who's the fake one here? The real men are on this radio show, by God. We all know that's true.
What I'm telling them is, I'm sorry, when you're fake advertising, the real man can tell. He may be
that's
into
right.
that, but inevitably, that's really hypocritical for women to do that. And I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, if you're matter of fact, to me, there's really nothing quite like when you find out that 5'10" woman that caught your eye in the grocery store is wearing flats. I kind of like that myself, or vice versa. So the women I've been attracted to have been getting shorter and shorter in stature and more physical in their ability that's where I actually lack. I'm a tall guy that used to weigh over 400 pounds and had to get his act together that way. If you're talking about stories,
right.
See, I had to learn myself. Once you get to the point where you're 400 pounds, you don't get to have the gym work for you. You know, you're going to have to find some way to get down that doesn't include the physical exercise. So I learned all those kinds of things. I found out that what I was eating was phony, and the people that I was hanging around with were phony. And when I was in the military, all those people are phony. They're basically, I mean, it's really disgusting when you're in a top secret job with all sorts of extra clearances and all sorts. You're building skills, and you know that all these losers that are hanging around you. I mean, and I love the military aura, but prior to October 10, 1995, the military that my dad was in, where he could spend four years and come
Mine
out
too.
And be six because he kicked ass. Okay.
Right.
When I went in, I kicked ass just like he does. Now, granted, I'm not mechanical. I never have been. That's my weakness. My dad taught vocational arts, and there's no way I was going to pick that up. He said, I would have fired your ass. You know, I would have given you an F. But he also
– Thanks, Dad.
I was the one that was working. Well, hang on. I was the one
– Right.
He still was – when I have a twin brother, and when my parents are either working separately or they're having a row or something, my identical twin brother hung out with my mom, and I hung out with my dad. And I had to actually learn the people sciences to figure this one out. The best description is actually the – first time that man ever wrote down how to determine personalities, they called it the Enneagram. That one nailed it. All the rest of them didn't. So anyway, staying away from the science part of it, the geeky part, I always hung out with my dad, and eventually this is where we can get to the part where I was down on my luck, I guess. I didn't do too well at my first jobs. When I was first 14, I got a job with McDonald's, and it was weird because the boss would tell one guy, he'd come to me and he'd say, look, this guy out hustles you, does what I tell him all the time like a robot, and you need to be more like that. Then he'd turn around and go to the robot and say, you need to think faster on your feet and be able to be, you know, quicker with the change and things like that, like the Irish pirate does. And I thought it was really weird that he never had anything positive to tell either one of us.
He's doing the proverbial divide and conquer. Good cop and bad cop. He's trying to spur you both on at the same time, and he's playing against the middle. Oh, yeah. I get it. It's a common management tactic. Whether he learned that in school or not, naturally to some people.
Yeah.
Right. You should be like him. You should be like this guy. Okay. Yeah. Yada, yada.
Trying to tie it together. I learned all that at 14. I was the kind of kid that when I was working there, I made sure my till was accurate, but I sure had extra change in one pocket. And somebody flipped like a wheatback penny over the counter. That thing went into the other pocket. And then I replaced it with money out of my left pocket because I knew the value of the numismatics back then. Nowadays, it's just the copper and the coin, which is still worth saving, but you're going to need a few. The copper is still going up. I mean, that's and I still do. It's called proper copper. And it's not unusual for me. I'm in like a QT or something here. And somebody says, I don't know why you're trying to save that penny. So I'll take a modern day penny and that penny, which is prior to 1982, and I'll drop those suckers on the counter. And I said, can you hear the difference? I didn't even tell you which was which. They said, I like the one that had the lower frequency. I like that, you know, that second one you dropped. It's like, bingo, sir. That is exactly right. You can hear it for yourself the first time. So anyway, that was 14. I had this job and I was, you know, I was kicking ass in my own way. I was mental, but I didn't know really how to hustle. Later on, just like you were getting earlier from Gladiator, I've done my poker. And I did my own stats eventually on that. I was making 21% on a dollar. I didn't try to make, you know, five digits out of it in a year. But I could easily, when I'm at home, just have a little fun, play some low-end poker and easily be making $7 or $12 an hour while I'm enjoying myself and then stop after 3 or 4 hours and say, that was fun. Every once in a while, I'd hit a major. But the important thing was that I was just trying to be good at the gaming. Let's see. From 14, I had a bunch of other jobs that I didn't make it at. I mean, as a mental guy, as a rational guy, you'd think that I'd be able to actually keep a job. But it did not happen. I got a summer job before I went to college, after I graduated from high school, at a plumbing and maybe a little carpentry. They had a bunch of journeymen working for them.
Okay.
And it was a family business. And I still had my bad issues. In fact, the radio station was looking for DJs, which is what I wanted to do, obviously, the voice like mine. And
that's
my identical
job, right?
Twin brother, who had never even had a job, let alone lost one. He couldn't even get them because he was too lazy. And my mom, who was a bookkeeper for that very radio station, said, they're looking for a DJ, but I know them. These men can't make a decent decision. They're all a bunch of slugs. So I only want one of you to apply. You'll get the job. And she said, I've got your brother slated for that. And I immediately balked. I said, look, I've been getting hammered at all these jobs so that I know, I think if I could get a job that I really loved, I'd be able to keep it. And she said, no, mate, I want both my kids working. And that really depressed me. It's one of the reasons later on that I became a DJ later in life, that I felt that my brother had things handed to him that I had to go working for.
Right.
It's ironic because nowadays I say, well, then I did. You know, I'm probably better off in the long run for that, even though short term would have been nice. So you're doing the plumbing thing where I was a plumber's apprentice, basically. And it helped me learn how to, I don't know, drive a standard and a few other really nice things. But the reality was, industry still never got used to a guy like me who could think and act and care. And so, for example, they're...
Well, they got rid of you guys. Just to be Irish, they have gotten rid of the white European guys of that mindset out of corporate America. They got all done on purpose. You're right. You were hitting that stride right when the big purge was beginning in America, and it was a purge. I mean, just let me interject her for a second on your spiel here. Everyone I know a guy that works at a few guys that have some companies here in Phoenix. Who are all the new hires for team lead, supervisor, entry-level management? Not one white guy. It's out of his control. He says they're all
worse.
Indian, black, women, one half Asian, half white. He goes, there are no white European men need apply. You're not going to get those jobs anymore. They have converted corporate America and all the teams. They want female leads preferably of foreign-born females or black males that they're elevating to those positions, those entry-level ones, and they can never fire them because that's lawsuit protection for the companies. And that's rampant, still going on. Go ahead, sir. I just wanted to get that out there for our listening audience.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, and before that, just before that, they were using what is called the Peter Principle. They hire someone and
that's
take
right.
them to their highest level of incompetence and leave them there, right? You're great machinists,
yeah.
so what do? We make your supervisor and all these guys that really are clunky and don't really know what they're doing, you don't get to show them how to make it any better than for 15 minutes, and they're back to grinding away. Well, I had that same problem when
that's
I was
right.
a kid. They kept trying to shove me into things that I just wasn't good at. But let me give you an example of a nice backfire. So it's obvious that I was not going to work out well at apprentice job. It's just not my style. They're trying to check and see how well I can handle a shovel and whether or not I could, I don't know, I'd have to help out in some pretty physical projects. And I was a big kid, but that doesn't mean I was well coordinated or anything. And it was really making me sad that other people could do the job better than I could, and I knew that. But when they hired me, they were asking me things like, yeah, I'm going to college. I'm looking up at all I took in high school was college preparatory classes and things like that. And so they get all high on me, and then they'd find out I was worthless as a hustler on the job, at least at those ages. And so the hard part for me was I know I'm living this down. I can see what's happening. And so our next door neighbor, although in Wyoming, our next door neighbor was not exactly next door. He was about a quarter mile away, but it was the
sure.
next property down. And he was a CPA, and he was their CPA. And one day he found out that they hired me, and he said, you know what? You hired one of those kids. Those two brothers are lazy. They won't last a month if you hire one of them, and you hired one of them. And the owner got really mad and said, he's a bright kid. He knows what he's doing, and he lasts all summer, and I'll bet you $50. He goes, at a steak dinner, and you're in, at you-know-where.
Sure.
Then the CPA
is that steak
with
dinner
his big
again?
Mouth came, you know it. And the CPA with his big mouth came to my dad and said, I'm the reason your son still has a job. And it really depressed my dad. My dad was so proud that I was actually out there trying to hustle it. And now he's being told I'm not going to make it. He hadn't heard anything from me. I didn't have anything good to say, but I wasn't coming home depressed either. It was just like, well, I'll stroke him until I can't. And so one night my dad just called me out. He said, we got to talk about something. And I go like, Dad, I thought we already had that talk. I graduated from high school, but there's stuff going on. And,
don't knock her up, son. Don't
else.
Knock her up. Whatever you do, you can't afford the child support, and I can't either. Just kidding.
Bad
talk.
Later on, I did have to pay my child support, but I did, and that's another story for another time. You'll love it. But anyway, my dad sits me down on an old tractor tire, and he's trying to explain to me that I'm working at a job where my time is doomed. And I looked at him, and he looked at me and goes, so, do you realize, how do you feel knowing that now you're just basically a pawn in somebody's bet? And I said, absolutely relieved. And he's looking at me like, what? I said, yeah. I know these two arrogant assholes. They're never going to back down. And since it's the owner of the business that's backing me, I'm good for the summer no matter how bad I am. And so I should just relax, make friends, and enjoy myself. And I'll tell you this. That was 1980, and I was making $4 an hour.
Oh,
if you reverse engineer that with inflation, 1980.
I want to go back
you,
to 1980, damn it. I want to go
I'm
back.
I'm telling you, reverse engineered, that's more money. Up until very recently, I've gotten two raises and four awards in this year in 2023. Otherwise, that was the most money I've ever made. From a salary standpoint.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, they did. They kept me on the whole summer, even though there were some embarrassingly stupid things I did, but at least I had a smile on my face. I didn't talk down anybody. I didn't say I couldn't do a job.
Learning
I just
curve.
Gave it my best.
It's a learning curve. Right. Yeah. Every guy learns. So, now, how can you extrapolate that to the bachelor of today? What's your kernel of wisdom about your experience there?
Well, I'll translate this to when I was in the military. I came in originally, I was going to be a linguist, and I probably should have done that. I ended up going to nuclear power program because my scores were really high, and that's what they wanted. And you know, they were given a lot of bonuses to people who were within that program. Like, so I could have almost caught up to my dad, you know, 4 years. You know, he was a slick sleeve first class. They don't have those anymore. But you can make it maybe in 5 years, maybe 6 now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much guaranteed. And so everybody's going to be wearing it before everybody else. Other people in the Navy, for example, don't make E6 until about 12 years on average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially – well, here's the thing. So when I got – at boot camp, I'll try to leave the stories out on that, but it was not a good thing. People didn't like Whitey, as you well know. And that was bad for me, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was from Wyoming. So I got
It was just starting when you were in. It was just starting. Yep.
And believe me, I got the brunt of that. And I still managed to graduate on time, but I had to switch companies when people got into trouble administratively. So anyway, I go to A school, and – again, I'm not mechanical. So, you know, I'm taking A school. I'm supposed to be going through electrician mate school 3 times faster than the typical electrician mate because this computer tested me and said that I had all that. And it looked at my background and said, well, he's got all these high school, you know, he's even at a year of college, so he must have taken shop classes. The answer is not this kid. They're all truly college preparatory. You know, we're going deeply into the, you know, the trigonometry and you know, I was just short of calculus, basically, at that point. That was my next step if I'd have kept going. And I never took any practical shop classes. I never took an electricity class. So the computer was wrong, and I was falling behind. And finally they brought me in. They said, look, your hour's down. And I said, look, my dad chose me the best classes. He was a teacher. You know, it's like I'm very well equipped. I'm just not mechanical. And they said, your daddy's not here to take care of you, and drop me to the fleet. And so this is where I learned the hard way. I ended up in doing exactly the job that my dad did 30 years prior to me. And obviously he was really good at it. I was a total failure. It was just like the plumber apprentice. It was the damage controlman / hole maintenance technician, all that stuff. That was definitely not my fit. They tried all sorts of places to put me. Finally, I succeeded when they made me an administrative yeoman, and I rewrote the shipboard damage control test. And I was hard at it, like my dad when he was a teacher. And a bunch of people complained. I've been in the Navy for 16 years, and I've never failed a damage control test like that. It's like, guess what? We're backing the E3. We think that you should know how to find number one pump room on this boat. You've been on here 6 months. So it was really cool. They started backing me for the fact that I wanted people to know how to do their job. They didn't have to be experts with their hands. They didn't have to out-hustle anybody. Just be slick. Just be smart. Finally, I was trying to find a way to get out of that job, and everybody kept telling me, you'll never be able to get out of this. This is what they call Creo Group A, the biggest needs of the Navy. You'll never get out of here. Well, I talked to the Command Master Chief, and he said, if you'll just send a little 1306 form to Rombo. So I sent Reagan this little form that basically says, hey, I want a better job. I want to be a spook. I want to be a cryptologic technician. And a 1307 is when they tear the bottom off and give you a yes or no. And it said yes. So the people on the ship didn't even believe me when I said I was leaving. It had only been 7 months. Everybody else had been stuck there for 6 years. So I got off in 7 months.
Hey, it's like I said, Irish.
I really...
so yeah, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You ventured, and you gained. You got that spot.
So now here's what I want to tell people. I got that school, and I kicked ass. Well, I did, like, make number one, but I was number two or three. And they send that guy to Scotland. And I get there, and they kick me into the research and development unit, which is really good because then I learned on the job rather than in their functional schools, and that type of thing. They weren't cramming information down my throat. I was taking in as fast as I could take it. And here's my point. Everybody else that was in there was going to be E6 over 23. Remember, my dad was E6 mm-hmm. over 4. And
yeah.
I was taking the one path that was going to lead to where I wasn't going to have to experience that. I was kicking ass. I was getting, for the first time in my life, real evaluations. You know, people really liked what I was doing. Of course, except the guy that actually was the when you're in crypto, you have a position, a very specific, like, machine you're running with. I chose the hardest one, of
right.
course. Just like when I was a dealer in Las Vegas, I chose craps because you last, you know, instead of 15 months, you last 5.5 years or more on average. And so when you choose the hard stuff, you do well. And that's also what people expect to succeed choose. They, you know, they want the best reward, not the safest job. Everybody else was playing it safe. I was making them look stupid. Even that technical boss said, every time you come in here, you make me look stupid. Can I quote you on that, Rick? So the problem is I'm kicking ass for the first time in my life. I mean, I'm really loving it. And I met my woman to be my first wife. It was not Scottish. She was, you know, Navy also. And I'm really getting there. And I'm always fighting the system even then. A guy figured out that I got through the school without asking for 6 more months extended because, you know, that's, in my case, that was like a third school. And so the stupid personnelman comes up and said, you should have extended for 6 months. I'm going to make you do it. And I'm going like, you? It's like, I don't even understand where you're coming
right.
from. It's the school's job to re-up me. And he goes, no, I'm going to make it my mission. And he goes, besides, I can make your life miserable. It's like, let me do some math here. I'm an E3 and you're an E5. We both go down to E1. Who falls farther? I think it's you. I think I can make your
right.
life miserable. And so
right.
basically,
right.
I thought about it. I said, I've never made more money. I'm being taken care of. I'm kicking ass at work. This girl I'm with is awesome. And they want me to do 6 more months of this over here in Scotland? I'm all right with that. But one thing's for sure, it's my idea, dimwit. I decided to take your offer to extend. It's not you making me do it. I could have made your life miserable. I just think it's a dumb idea. I want to live my
right.
life, not have to constantly prove myself more manly than everybody else. Besides, I got my girl. What do you got? Never mind. Anyway, so my life has always been like that. So people ask, why did your brother stay in for 23 years and you got out for 4.5? Well, you've just found out during this show there's a lot of people had to be able to make their moves when they could. And when I got out, do you think it was all fun and games? You've got to be kidding me. I went back to swabbing the deck in the supermarket. Nobody was waiting for me, but by the time I waited for my woman to get out of the service, when we went to California, I did get a job where I did use a clearance and fixed computers and stuff like that. Once again, everything was great. However, the family basically was taking over, and I said, hey, I think it's time for me and my wife to leave, and she said, well, I'm not going. You know, she liked being taken care of by the family, not me. So that was divorce number one. I left, and I went to Vegas, and I'll deal with the rest of it on another phone call. But I was always having to fight the fact that other people just wanted to just lay back and slug it out. You know, they wanted gravy from Uncle Sam. We'll see where that's getting you now with the U.S. dollar. See where that's getting you now that you know that they've been rigging everything against you. And the latest one is like that Bud Light commercial, right? All everybody knows about is just the woman that did. Yeah, all everybody knows about is just that woman. They're blaming it on the woman that was woke and said that she's the one that's so bad. Dude, who hired her?
That's right. Bud Light management sucks. They're a bunch of dumbasses in corporate America. And they've been pushing this stuff in corporate America for years.
Well, let me tie this guy back into what the story I just gave you. You know where this guy came from? He's a Marine. His name is Brendan Whitworth. Okay? He's a complete gravy-sucking moron. Okay? He was bad in the Marines, just like all the other guys I mentioned. And he had his parents were always well-to-do. And it was his sister, actually, that told him after he got out of the military, she actually thought that she needed to.
We got 2 minutes,
him.
Irish.
So she got him into. She got him into Frito-Lay, and then in Frito-Lay he didn't do much, and eventually came over to Anheuser-Busch and worked his way up there. He had gotten a hold of the reins of CEO in 2021. He didn't deserve it then. He doesn't deserve it now. And has he apologized for his hire? Oh, no. Quote, we never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. Yet you put on a queero and wonder why real men don't want to identify with your brand or your beer. It's hilarious. This guy literally
is
gaslighting you rather than apologizing. And he's not apologizing for taking his company down $6 billion in a week. I mean, it's the same thing I saw in the military. It's the same thing I saw when I was 14 years old. It's the same thing that I saw when my CPA was trying to tell the boss that I was going to get fired in a month. You know, and their egos were way above it all. And the answer is, my God, I believe in entrepreneurialism because of all these assholes. That's what it comes down
right
to. You might as well be an entrepreneur, because if the typical American male, especially now, like I said, military after 1995, we'll get into that on another phone call. But I can tell you, the United Nations basically took over military after that. And that's Michael G. New.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
No, Irish.
But you want to be able to do something real? I tell you what, you know how to do it yourself. You know how to play poker? Go play. I do. Last time I went out, I got first place at the fort. But I will say this.
Nice.
There's a lot of people out there that are scared not to be an entrepreneur. Well, guess what? Your dollar is tanking. Your government is taking over your businesses and trying to tell you whether or not you're essential. The only way you're going to prove them wrong, you better be a good bachelor. You better be a really, really good businessman. You better learn how that dollar is paid to you. It's not your birthright. It's not something you're entitled to because you sucked out with the government for 23 years. You have to be worth something to somebody.
Damn it, I thought it was.
Yeah, and so I'm worth something to a lot of people. I learned that this week. Really busy week last
week. They
got to
learn the hard way, don't they, Irish? They got to learn the hard way. Irish, thanks so much, man.
And I'm telling you.
We got to wrap it up. We got to wrap it up, buddy.
Yeah, this is the
your last. You're our last line. Make it good, man. Make it good.
I'm telling you that the only way you're ever going to find out if you really have any – give away something this week. Get on the email and give away a piece of really, really good advice to someone you hardly even know. And for every thank you get, honestly, you deserve 100 more. And on a future show, I'll definitely get into when I've invented things, when I've made things for other people. And I know that I couldn't have made $1 million on, like, you know, the invention itself, but at least it helped hundreds of people at a time. Like, I know of 2 or 3 things I've done like that. Hundreds of people is fine with me. I don't need $1 million for my next idea. I don't care. I just want to help people. Thank you for the time, Von Wiener.
I love it. You got Irish Pirate. Thank you, sir. Have a great night. We'll look forward to some fun packs and great call. I could talk to you guys for hours. Love talking to you guys. But unfortunately, it's the constraints of the clock and the show. But I love hearing the stories. They're always very interesting. You guys, we have a lot of knowledge and wealth. But again, we've got to flow with the show. So this is our big bachelor show of the month. We'll have another one now in a few weeks because of the scheduling conflict. And when you come on the show, make your points first, be concise, get your points off your chest, and then we can lounge around in the radio green room and have some fun, some conjecture, some conversation, and hope tonight we enlighten some bachelors. You got some different perspectives from your hosts and 3 different callers who each come into the radio octagon with a very unique perspective. You've heard many things tonight, and we hope it's helped you. I know it has, because you guys will tell me later. that you sit back, and I've told you before, sit back with a beer, a real man's beer, a real cocktail from the bar, and listen, just chill. No pressure on you. I do all the work. I'm a worker bee, always have been. It keeps me young, keeps my mind sharp, and I'll put on the show. If for any reason ever the show is not on the air, it's not because I want it to ever be that way. It's because the government, Big Brother, or the UN, or the globalist cabal decided to pull a plug on me. But I'll find a way, pre-broadcast from the mountains of Arizona. We are the new pharaohs of the land. This is your big fraternity radio show on the air. I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of beer to all of you tonight. I'm always wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with cigar in hand, mafioso style. We're ready to rock and roll on this show as always. We'll talk to you all on Thursday night for our more political show. So I bid you all farewell. Have a great night. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. And welcome to my mind.